This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to another Joy 94.9 podcast.
And joining us on the line, we have from Western Australia, Senator Scott Ludlam, who is a West Australian Greens Senator. Senator Ludlam, welcome to Joy.
Good morning.
And we're going to talk to you because you're responsible for all the stuff that I guess the Attorney General Department sort of looks after. You're the Greens spokesperson, and the Greens are supporting a bill that's being put forward by Liberal Senator Judith Troth to actually review a whole lot of these laws that were brought in straight after September the 11th.
That's right, yes.
And tell me a little bit about some of the reasons for supporting this bill.
Well, it's a bill that was moved by Petro Georgiou in the House of Representatives, and the reason that we supported it was because it's coming from the same people who were who were backbenchers in the Howard years, and actually stood up against John Howard to a degree. To a stronger degree even than the Labor Party did, really, and did speak out. Mm. So this bill has come forward and it's essentially creating a bit of a safety net and creating an office of a reviewer who will determine whether we need a lot of the terror laws at all and how they're operating and how they're being used against people.
Mm. My understanding is that these laws were really brought in very, very quickly with very little discussion in the Parliament.
The original laws, I mean, there's 40 separate pieces of legislation or thereabouts and amendments to existing legislation and the criminal code and so on. So it's a very large and complex body of legislation that was brought in very rapidly under a situation of, of panic and alarm and fear. And it's still on the books. Mm. So everything that Howard passed is still on the books.
Yeah.
And that's the reason that we thought it was, we had a look at what Mr. Georgiou and Senator Troth were proposing and figured that it really was worth supporting.
Yeah, and I'm reading from your own website the fact that you're saying that some of these laws are actually quite draconian.
Well, they absolutely are. And some of them, we believe, don't need reviewing. They need repealing. They need taking off the statute books because they fundamentally have undermined the rule of law in Australia.
Do you think that is likely to happen, that they will get some of them will get taken off?
Yeah, I believe eventually it will, but it's going to, it can't happen fast enough for me. But the first step, I suppose, is getting the reviewer up and running, and so that at least there's some good legal minds at work who are pulling apart how these laws have been operated, whether they've been abused, and whether fundamental civil and human rights have been undermined by their enactment.
Would some of the things that happened around Dr. Haneef in Queensland come under this legislation?
Exactly. I mean, that's exactly the kind of case that that is just so unfortunate and inevitable, really, when you give this kind of unfettered power to law enforcement agencies to take away some of the checks and balances. These are the sort of things that were warned would occur, and of course they did. And the case of Dr. Haneef is really only one of the most... it's one of the most high-profile cases, but there are others. So... We're not going to be looking merely at the laws in theory, but we'll be looking at how agencies have interpreted them and used them and some of the outcomes that have come from that.
And so hopefully that can be done in, a quieter time without this sort of panicked reaction and knee-jerk reaction, that we can sit back now and say, what really do we need?
That's right, essentially, and it's to be hoped that cooler heads will prevail.
Yes.
And, of course, you'll be aware that the bill was passed through the Senate with the support of the Coalition and the Greens. And, of course, it'll be sent back to the House of Representatives now. Mm-hmm. And there, I fear, it will stay. And I don't think the government will be moving it forward and voting for it. So all we've really done is just pushed it forward a notch and brought it back open for public debate. Mm. But we were very disappointed that the government didn't see fit to support it.
Even though we now have a new government, we've still got a bit of a deadlock on there.
We've got a real deadlock. And we've got a new government that voted at the time for a reviewer when the laws were being passed. So it was very disappointing to see them voting against it on Thursday when it went through the Senate.
Why do you think that they're doing that?
I think that's a question that would best be put to the Attorney General.
Yes.
We were just really disappointed. I think the merits of the argument are pretty clear. I was on the committee. We heard a lot of evidence from some of the most, you know, some of the best legal minds in the country as to why this is an urgent necessity. So, as I say, we were just disappointed that the government didn't see fit to support it. It would have been much better if it had been a bipartisan effort.
Do you have any idea whether other countries have similar laws?
Well, they do, but it depends what sort of countries you want to compare it to, I suppose.
Yes.
So, for example, the United Kingdom is often brought out as a... Excuse me, I'm standing on a busy street. The UK is often brought out as an example of a country with a similar suite of anti-terrorism legislation that was brought through. But, of course, the United Kingdom and the United States, for that matter, have a Bill of Rights. So they do have some legislated protection for human rights, which we don't have in Australia. And in the case of the UK, at least, there was a reviewer. So there is somebody who's continually combing through and working out whether the laws are being used proportionately to the degree of threat.
Well, it sounds a bit disappointing that perhaps although a lot of, you know, work's been done by yourselves and Petra Giorgio and Judith Troth, that maybe it's still going to get stuck. That's very disappointing to hear.
It'll get stuck, but to be honest, I believe that'll only be temporary. I don't think it's a tenable position for the government to just hold it up forever and leave it stranded. I think it will... you know, I won't be surprised at all if in the early part of the year the government does move to some kind of similar process. And we'll now be forewarned to a degree with a lot of evidence and some solid proposals coming from the Senate. And that gives the government a bit of an idea also of what it would be able to pass through the Senate. So I think it has advanced the debate. It would have been much better to have seen it pass during the week. But we'll just have to wait for another day, I think.
Now, Senator Ludlam, you also are responsible for being the spokesperson for the Greens on the internet censorship and communications and stuff like that. The Greens have made a statement that there are too many unanswered questions about the government's internet filtering plan. Can you give us a quick rundown in terms of what you're thinking about in this area? What's the problem here? What do you see as a problem?
Well, the problem, I suppose, is that the government has never really made a case for why we need to radically expand censorship of the internet. The internet's a pretty freewheeling medium. It's been a place which has grown, you know, very, very rapidly over the last 10 years, and perhaps our legal processes haven't really caught up with it. But the government certainly has not made a case for widespread censorship. So, you know, we were talking about too many unanswered questions the other day. Since then, they have answered some of the technology questions, but of course what most people are concerned about is who is going to be deciding what content is blocked. What's the definition of unwanted or inappropriate material? And why are we going down this track of mandatory internet censorship when no other country in the Western world has such a system or is even really attempting it? We really believe that the system that we have at the moment, which could you know, certainly do with some improvement, is basically that if you're looking for a censored internet, so if, for example, if you're a parent and you want to be very careful about what your children are getting up to online, there's a lot of services that you can either just use straight out of the box from your internet service provider, or that you can tune to be responsive to your needs or the age of your children or whatever your circumstances are. We believe that's a much better approach than the government just, you know, effectively mandatory throwing a blanket over the internet and deciding what adults are able to see online.
Yeah, and plus you'll never keep up anyway.
I beg your pardon?
And plus it'll be just difficult to keep up anyway with the changes.
Well, it'll be impossible to keep up. I mean, there are thousands of web pages added to the internet every day. I don't think the government has a hope of having, you know, empowering a censorship board large enough to comb through every scrap of video that goes up onto YouTube and every document that's sent from one place to another. It'll end up being a massive distraction from the real work of education and law enforcement, which is needed to protect kids online.
It does sound bizarre, doesn't it?
Bizarre is one word for it.
The other thing, of course, is that, you know, how would laws such as this or censorship such as this impact on the gay, lesbian, bisexual, intersex community, particularly regarding literature and some of the websites, the perfectly legitimate websites, but which, you know, some people would suggest just by their very nature of having the words gay and lesbian in them should be censored anyway.
Well, unfortunately, I think it does put those sort of that sort of material into a high risk category. And that's exactly the kind of thing that we're worried about. We're not going to be able to have tens of thousands of people sitting on computers combing through everything that's on the net. So you're going to end up with software filters and computer programs effectively trying to decide whether something is pornography, whether it's health-related, if it's pornographic, is it appropriate, is it inappropriate. It's completely untenable.
Yeah.
And the government talks about illegal material. Well, it's profoundly regrettable, but gay marriage is illegal in Australia at the moment. Mm, so will we be blocking websites advocating gay marriage?
Yeah, I mean, illegal activities.
Well, building a nuclear power station is illegal in Australia as well. So I wonder whether we might take the Australian Nuclear Association offline.
Mm. Yeah. So probably what you're saying is, where would it end?
And where would it end? Why are we even beginning it?
Let's continue. Even have, you know, situations with governments or prime ministers passing judgment on what's art or not.
Well, effectively, and we've seen the kind of moral panic that erupts over the Henson photography, for example. We don't want to be throwing a shroud over the internet every time someone is offended by something they see online. Mm,
that's very true. Well, we personally have some very, experience of some very strange internet censoring of two people that Leanne and I know, whose surnames happen to be Sexton and Klingsporn. And because of the sex and the porn in their names, they couldn't get email through.
Okay.
Hmm. Well, through their place of work.
That's kind of the shape of things to come. Mm. It's a really unfortunate example, but the software is not perfect.
No. Mm. And I guess that's the thing, isn't it? If you're leaving it to software, it's not perfect. If you're leaving it to people, they're even less perfect.
Well, and look, even if we could make it perfect, I'd still be very, very wary and suspicious of why we'd be wanting to go down that track anyway.
Yeah.
So I've not really been running the technology argument because, to my mind, if they could make it operate fast, I'd still be very concerned about it.
Mm. Yeah. Scott, thank you very much for talking to us today on Saturday Magazine. We really appreciate your time. We know that you're very busy.
Well, thanks heaps for having us on the show.
That's an absolute pleasure. We hopefully might be able to talk to you again sometime in the future.
Yep, that'd be lovely. Cheers.
All right. Great. Thank you very much indeed.
Have a good
bye
day.
Thank you. That's Senator Scott Ludlam, who's a West Australian Greens senator, and he's responsible for all the stuff that the Attorney General's Department sort of put out.
So
he's
all
their
the legal stuff, which is really the murky areas, aren't they? And it's sort of not necessarily the sexy, high-profile stuff when it gets down to that level of detail. But
when you get onto censorship, it could be.
Wouldn't that be a boring job?
Yeah, oh God, yes.
Porn sites and whatever.
This has been another Joy 94.9 podcast. Joy 94.9 is a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station committed to providing a voice for the diverse GLBTI communities. You can support our work by becoming a member or making a donation. For details, go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.